Welcome back to the lab. Sources have been removed from this recording for compatibility with listening. Visit quantumdisciple.com to view the sources in detail. To the reader navigating the divine architecture, few topics in the Christian source code trigger as much internal system friction as the doctrine of predestination. To the observer, it often presents as a logical deadlock. If God is truly sovereign and has determined the end from the beginning, does human choice even exist? Conversely, if human will is the deciding factor, is God truly the architect of salvation? This presentation is not an attempt to soften the edges of the Bible to make it more palatable to modern sensibilities. It is a systems audit. The objective is to examine the various operating systems within Christendom, specifically the Reformed or Calvinist, the Arminian or Wesleyan, and the Lutheran perspectives, to see how they process the data regarding God's elective purposes. We are operating from the baseline that we must align with what the Bible says, not what we wish it said. Look at the raw data. The raw data for predestination is not found in vague philosophical musings, but in explicit command lines within the New Testament. The primary data points include the following. Quote, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." End quote. Quote, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." End quote. Consider the scope of the audit. In this audit, we will present the arguments for each major view, providing the evidence they use to support their claims. We will then subject these views to a coherence check against the totality of the biblical source code, seeking the determination that best aligns with the text as written. We will grapple with the tension between God's sovereignty and his stated desire for all to be saved. The goal of this audit is to move past denominational user preferences and return to the primary documentation. We invite you to follow the evidence, however challenging the conclusions may be. Let us begin the audit. Section 1.0, the Reformed Operating System, Unconditional Election. Section 1.1, the System Architecture, Monergism. The Reformed perspective operates on a monergistic architecture, meaning God works alone. In this system, the predestination protocol is an unconditional decree. The logic asserts that because the human hardware is fatally corrupted by the fall, resulting in total depravity, no user possesses the capacity to choose God on their own. Look at the corruption log. Quote, "As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." End quote. Quote, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." End quote. Quote, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away." End quote. Here is the logic. If no one seeks God and the user is dead in sins, then salvation cannot be initialized by user input. A dead system does not issue boot commands. This necessitates monergism. The initialization of salvation must be a unilateral act of the system administrator God, independent of any foreseen data or user input. The ancient prophet addresses not just the absence of righteousness, but the corruption of even our best efforts. Look at the Spirit protocol, quote, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life." End quote. Section 1.2. The primary argument, sovereignty as root access. The core argument of the Reformed operating system is that if God's choice depends on human action, even foreseen faith, then God is no longer the sovereign architect, but merely a responder to human variables. To maintain the glory firewall, the election must be based solely on his internal counsel. Consider the glory firewall. Quote, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. End quote. Quote, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. End quote. Quote, for from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. End quote. The logic dictates that this doxology attributes all things, including the mechanics of salvation, to God as source, sustainer, and goal. If faith were an autonomous user-generated variable, the user would share credit. To preserve the integrity of God's glory, faith itself must be a gift, and election must originate in God's counsel, not in foreseen human performance. Consider the historical log. This is a historical compilation, not the source code itself. The audit tests whether these claims match the raw data. An important historical confession defines these parameters. Quote, by the decree of God, for the manifestation of his glory, some men and angels are predestinated unto everlasting life, and others foreordained to everlasting death. End quote. Part 2, Section 1.3, the evidence log, the Romans 9 kernel. The strongest data supporting this view is found in Paul's explanation of God's selection process. The Reformed view interprets this as the definitive source code for individual election. Look at the Jacob and Esau instance. Quote, before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls. She was told, the older will serve the younger. Just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. End quote. Look at the mercy subroutine. Quote, what then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. It does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. End quote. Look at the potter and clay analogy. Quote, but who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use? End quote. Here is the logic. Skeptics often argue that this section is only about God's choice of nations for historical roles. The Reformed operating system agrees that nations are in view, but notes that Paul deliberately extends the logic to vessels of mercy and vessels of wrath prepared for eternal destinies. Furthermore, Paul's conclusion shifts explicitly to individual faith. Quote, the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, but the people of Israel have not attained their goal. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. End quote. The language of stumbling and believing is individual, not merely national. Additionally, he writes, quote, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. End quote. This explicitly distinguishes between ethnic Israel, the nation, and true Israel, the elect within the nation. Section 1.4, the input-output logic, the Book of John. The Reform system also points to the input constraints defined by Jesus. The argument is that the command to come cannot be executed unless the Father first executes the draw function. Look at the inability constraint. Quote, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. End quote. Look at the success rate. Quote, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. End quote. Look at the lexical audit of the word draw. Standard lexicons define the original Greek word as to draw or to drag. In other contexts, it describes a forceful, successful pulling action. Here is a skeptic aware note. Arminians cite the verse stating, quote, I will draw all people to myself, end quote. They use this to argue that the draw is universal, not effectual. The Reformed system responds that all people here means all kinds, Jew and Gentile, not every individual without exception, since not all are saved. The audit notes this as a contested data point. The logic continues. Nets and prisoners do not choose to cooperate with the pulling. The emphasis is on the effectiveness of the draw. The Reformed system argues that the draw function is effective and decisive, not merely an invitation. The text explicitly ties the Father's giving to the Son's keeping. The success rate is not merely high, it is guaranteed. Section 1.5. System summary. In the Reformed operating system, the predestination protocol is the cause of faith, not the result of it. God chooses the user. The user does not choose God until their will is reinitialized by the irresistible grace patch, which is regeneration. The logic states that irresistible does not mean against the user's will. It means the grace is effective. It successfully changes the will from unwilling to willing. The user is not dragged kicking and screaming. The user is made glad to come. As the ancient song says, quote, your troops will be willing on your day of battle, end quote. This does not violate the user's will. It liberates it from the corruption that previously made choosing the architect impossible. As Jesus states, quote, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed, end quote. Consider the faith as a gift protocol, quote, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, end quote, quote, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. End quote. Part 3, Section 2.0. The Arminian Operating System. Conditional Election. Section 2.1. The System Architecture. Synergism. The Arminian perspective operates on a synergistic architecture, meaning God and man work together. In this system, the predestination protocol is a conditional decree. It introduces a universal patch known as prevenient grace. This grace is a bootloader sent to every human, neutralizing the effects of depravity enough to restore right access to the will. Look at the universal light data. Quote, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. End quote. Look at the enabling grace data. Quote, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people, end quote. The logic dictates that if grace appears to all and the true light gives light to everyone, then there must be a universal enabling grace that precedes and makes possible a genuine human response. Here is a note on epistemic humility. Scripture does not use the term prevenient grace or give a technical specification of its operation. The Arminian system infers this bootloader from texts that describe grace and light as appearing to all, and from the universal call to repent and believe. Section 2.2. The primary argument, the love protocol. The core argument of the Arminian system is that God's character is defined by perfect love. A God who arbitrarily selects some for deletion while possessing the power to save them violates the love protocol. Look at the universal desire data, quote, God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, end quote. Quote, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance, end quote. Look at the no pleasure in deletion log, quote, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live, end quote. Quote, do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Sovereign Lord? Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? End quote. Quote, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone, end quote. The logic argues that if God wants all people to be saved and takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, then a decree predestining specific individuals to eternal deletion would conflict with God's revealed character. Section 2.3, the evidence log, universal scope. The Arminian system points to the scope variables in the atonement data. The argument is that the payment was made for the entire database. Look at the world variable. Quote, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, end quote. Quote, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, end quote. Look at the global propitiation. Quote, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world, end quote. Look at the universal taste. Quote, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone, end quote. Consider alternative readings. Reformed interpreters often argue that the whole world in John's letter means not only Jewish believers, but also Gentile believers worldwide, since John elsewhere uses the word world in varied senses. The Arminian system counters that the phrase not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world, creates a contrast that loses force if whole world merely means other elect people. Section 2.4, the input-output logic, resistible grace. The Arminian system argues that the Holy Spirit's draw can be blocked by the user's firewall. Look at the resistance log, quote, you always resist the Holy Spirit, end quote. Quote, how often I have longed to gather your children together, and you were not willing, end quote. Quote, but the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves, end quote. Quote, all day long I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations, end quote. Section 2.5, system summary. In the Arminian operating system, election is based on foreknowledge. God looks down the timeline, sees who will utilize the prevenient grace patch to accept Christ, and predestines those individuals to salvation. Consider the system cost. While this operating system protects the love protocol, it introduces the uncertainty variable. If the user casts the deciding vote, salvation is contingent on human stability. Look at the perseverance problem. If the user's free will is the deciding factor in accepting salvation, what prevents the same free will from later rejecting it? The Arminian system must either affirm that believers can lose their salvation, which creates perpetual uncertainty, or affirm that God preserves believers despite their free will, which reintroduces a form of monergism at the back end. The audit notes this as an unresolved tension within the Arminian architecture. Part 4, Section 3.0, the Lutheran operating system, single predestination. Section 3.1 and 3.2. The paradox protocol and grace alone. The Lutheran perspective operates on a paradox architecture. It runs a unique single predestination protocol. Salvation is monergistic, 100% God, but damnation is synergistic, 100% the user's resistance. Look at the bondage of the will anchor. Quote, it does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy, end quote. The logic states that acceptance is not the user's independent achievement. It is the effect of mercy. A dead system does not self-trigger faith mode. The statement made us alive, yet when we were dead, implies that regeneration is an external initialization. Section 3.3, universal atonement. On the side of damnation, the Lutheran system aligns with the Arminian view. God sincerely wants all to be saved, and Christ died for all. Look at the self-destruction error. Quote, Israel, you have destroyed yourself, but in me is your help. End quote. Quote, but whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death. End quote. The logic shows the contrast is sharp. Destruction is self-caused, help is God-caused. If a user is deleted, it is 100% the user's fault for resisting the Holy Spirit. Damnation is attributed to the user's rejection of a universally intended salvation. Section 3.4, the crux of the argument, the mystery gap. The Lutheran system is defined by how it handles the question, why are some saved and not others? It refuses to resolve the tension. Look at the access denied anchor. Quote, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us. End quote. Quote, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. End quote. Quote, can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens above. What can you do? They are deeper than the depths below. What can you know? End quote. The logic is that the text explicitly warns against assuming that divine logic operates on the same plane as human logic. Attempting to answer why some are saved and others are not from the secret things table is an unauthorized system hack. Section 3.5, system summary. In the Lutheran operating system, the predestination protocol is a security feature for user assurance. Look at the assurance anchor, quote, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. End quote. Quote, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. End quote. A textual note acknowledges that the ending of Mark is disputed in some manuscripts. However, the substance of the statement is paralleled in undisputed texts such as, quote, whoever believes in him is not condemned. End quote. Section 4.0, the system audit. Coherence check. Section 4.1, the Berean Protocol. We utilize the Berean Protocol, examining the scriptures to measure every claim against the raw data. Section 4.2, auditing the reform system, the all anomaly. The reform system experiences friction when encountering universal desire data. The logic notes that the same author who writes God wants all people to be saved also writes Christ Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all people. The word all in both verses is grammatically parallel. If the first all is restricted to all kinds, the second must be as well. But this creates friction with the universal scope texts. Section 4.3, auditing the Arminian system, the dead anomaly. The Arminian system must explain how a dead user can self-initiate faith. The logic dictates that the Arminian system must explain how prevenient grace, if universal and sufficient, does not result in universal salvation. If the bootloader restores genuine right access, why do some users still refuse? If the answer is nothing but the user's own choice, then the user becomes the ultimate differentiating factor. This risks reintroducing a form of merit. The merit of choosing correctly. Consider the boasting problem. If two users receive identical prevenient grace and one accepts while the other rejects, what distinguishes them? If the answer is the user's own choice, then the accepting user has something to boast about, namely that they made the right choice while their neighbor did not. This appears to conflict with the statement, quote, not by works, so that no one can boast. End quote. Section 4.4, the determination, the biblical syntax error. The Bible affirms two truths that result in a syntax error. Truth A is monergism. Salvation is 100% God's work. Truth B is universal responsibility. God wants all saved. Refusal is the user's fault. Section 4.5, the final verdict, single predestination. The determination of this audit is that the Lutheran paradox operating system best aligns with the totality of the Bible. Here is the logic. Quote, so then it does not depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. End quote. Place that side by side with, quote, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. End quote. these two verses placed side by side are the syntax error. The audit does not resolve them. It holds them together. Look at the operational stance. Quote, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. End quote. Part 5, Section 5.0, the governance subsystem. Section 5.1, the restriction protocol. We examine the explicit restriction stack in the source code regarding women teaching or holding authority over men in the church assembly. The logic shows Paul appeals to the creation order. To further anchor this root directory argument, quote, for man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. End quote. Quote, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. End quote. Paul appeals to the same creation order here as he does elsewhere, showing a consistent pattern. Section 5.2, the overseer hardware specifications. The source code provides specific hardware requirements for an elder or overseer. The phrase husband of one wife is a moral gate that also functions as a gender gate. Section 5.3, the permission stack, the validation log. The audit tests the permission data, examining instances where women exercise spiritual influence. This includes the day of Pentecost, the prophetess Huldah, Priscilla correcting a teacher, Mary Magdalene at the resurrection, and Deborah leading Israel. Consider this suggested addition. Quote, greet Andronicus and Junia. They are outstanding among the apostles. End quote. A skeptic aware note points out that the identity of Junia is debated regarding whether the name is feminine or masculine. The phrase outstanding among the apostles is also debated. Were they apostles themselves or simply known to the apostles? The audit notes this as a contested data point, but includes it as a possible example of female apostolic ministry. Section 5.4, sexual ethics and system integrity. The hardware requirements for office include adherence to the architect's design. The logic references these statements. Quote, haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife? End quote. Quote, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. End quote. Jesus himself appeals to Genesis as the normative design pattern for marriage. Paul explicitly grounds sexual ethics in natural design. A skeptic aware note acknowledges that some interpreters argue that the text addresses only exploitative or idolatrous same-sex behavior. The audit notes this proposal but observes that Paul's language, or exchange natural for unnatural, appeals to design, not merely context. Section 5.5. Theological triage. Governance questions sit at tier 2 regarding church order, not tier 1, which is the gospel. The logic follows these principles. Quote, accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. End quote. Quote, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. End quote. Paul distinguishes between matters of first importance and disputable matters. He reserves his strongest language for those who distort the gospel, not for those who disagree on church order. Section 6.0, system logs, the audit trail. Section 6.1, system definitions, definitions for monergism, synergism, total depravity, and prevenient grace are locked for this module. Section 6.2, the evidence log, load-bearing columns include the sovereignty log and the universal desire log. Consider this addition to the corruption and responsibility log. Quote, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? End quote. Consider this addition to the sovereignty log. Quote, in the Lord's hand, The king's heart is a stream of water that he channels toward all who please him. End quote. Section 6.3, the logic stack. Arguments include the glory firewall, the love protocol, the syntax error, and the triage protocol. Section 6.4, final system check. The Paradox operating system is selected as the most robust configuration. The logic states, quote, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? End quote. The architect has ordained means, such as preaching and prayer, through which he executes his saving will. Consider this final charge. Quote, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us. End quote. Quote, or so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. End quote. Thank you for listening. Please like and subscribe and visit quantumdisciple.com for more Christian research. Quantum Disciple out.